Zealand, but in fact they are only adding something about 0.1, 0.2% of GDP. Most people think that Brexit's cost our GDP somewhere between 4 and 5%. But a lot of people didn't vote for Brexit for that reason. They voted for Brexit because they wanted parliamentary sovereignty back.
Okay. Professor Catherine Barnard, thank you very much indeed for ending on such a clear note. I'm sure that is a conversation that's going to carry on and on and on. Thanks to all of you for listening, for writing in, for shouting at Alexa. I'm off now at 3 o'clock here on LBC. It's Vanessa Feltz, but up next, Ali Miraj.
Thank you very much, Matt. The Attorney General, Lord Hermer, is facing a cabinet backlash after lamenting calls to disengage from the ECHR and other international bodies if they no longer serve British interests as a pick-and-mix approach similar to that pursued by Nazi Germany. Should the Attorney General be sacked? At one, Sadiq Khan has backed calls for the decriminalisation of cannabis possession as a study suggests that the way the drug is policed causes greater harm to society than its use. Use, and that the use of stop and search disproportionately affects black communities. Should cannabis be decriminalised? And at two, women in England could be offered breast checks from the age of 30 with an NHS trial showing almost one in five women could actually develop cancer. How has breast cancer changed your life?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midday, two adults and a teenager have died in a crash on the M5 in South Gloucestershire. Police say a BMW left the northbound carriageway last night, reporter Thea Rickard is following developments for LBC.
Avon and Somerset Police tell us they're still trying to establish why the white BMW came off the road at around 9 o'clock yesterday evening. This happened on the northbound side of the M5 between Junction 14 for Falfield and the Michael Wood services. We're hearing two adults in their 40s and a teenage child who were travelling in the vehicle died of their injuries, while another child was seriously hurt and is in hospital.
The government says it's working with the US to clarify the implications of its latest steel and aluminium tariffs. Donald Trump says he will double the tax on the metal imports to 50% from Wednesday. The UK agreed a deal with the United States last month to bring the levies on those metals to zero, but it's yet to come into force. Four people have been injured, three seriously, after a car collided with pedestrians in Leicester. Police were called to De Montfort Street in the early hours of this morning. A man has been arrested on suspicion of causing grievous bodily harm with intent and causing serious injury by dangerous driving. The US Defence Secretary Pete Hegseth has warned that the threat from China to Taiwan could be imminent. Speaking at a security conference in Singapore, Mr. Hegseth says Beijing is rehearsing for a potential invasion of the territory. China regards Taiwan as a breakaway province. Mr. Hegseth says any attack will have devastating consequences for the region and the world.
There's no reason to sugarcoat it. The threat China poses is real and it could be imminent. We hope not, but it certainly could be. Facing these threats, we know that many countries are tempted by the idea of seeking both economic cooperation with China and defense cooperation with the United States. But beware the leverage that the CCP seeks with that entanglement. Economic dependence on China only deepens their malign influence and complicates our defense decision space.
The Defence Secretary John Healey says he has no doubt that military spending will reach 3% of GDP by 2034. Mr. Healey's told a newspaper the target's no longer an ambition but a certainty. A major review of the armed forces is due to be published next week. And three Britons are battling for a place in the fourth round of the French Open this afternoon. Britain's number one, Jack Draper, takes on Brazil's João Fonseca. That game will be followed by an all-Scottish tie as Cameron Norrie faces Jacob Fernley. LBC weather, showers will ease across the north of England and Wales throughout the afternoon, dry with sunny spells elsewhere, highs of 26 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Let's stop there. Being a soldier, it's exciting. You already know that. What you want to know is, what's in it for me? I wanted to learn leadership skills from the experts.
I wanted to get paid to earn qualifications.
I wanted more confidence. And outlook, I'm on the radio.
That's what was in it for me.
Get skills, get qualified, get confident. Army. Recruiting now. Search Army Jobs.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ali Miraj.
afternoon to you, Ali Mirage on LBC. It's 4 minutes past 12, and I shall be with you until 3 p.m. for the regular weekend shows every Saturday and Sunday from midday until 3. I hope I find you very well and that you are enjoying this glorious weather that we are having. I've even got one of my summer jackets on to revel in the weather that we're having. Now, I wanted to begin with the Attorney General, because this is dominating the headlines of a number of papers, you might imagine. Of course, the Tory right-wing press, or, well, you could call it Tory at one point, not so much these days, but let's just say the more right-leaning press, let's put it politely. The Daily Telegraph, front page: pressure builds on Starmer to sack Lord Chief over Nazi smear. Sir Keir Starmer is facing pressure to sack his Attorney General after he compared calls to leave the European Convention on Human Rights to the rise of Nazism. Lord Hermer was forced to apologise yesterday for his clumsy remarks that likened politicians wanting to leave the ECHR to legal experts in the 1930s Germany who rejected international law and human rights in favour of state power. Just hold on to that thought for a second. And the front page of the Daily Mail: PM told to sack legal chief over Nazi slur. Their take is Keir Starmer is under mounting pressure to sack his Attorney General for likening right-wing British politicians to Nazis. Cabinet ministers and Labour MPs turned on Lord Hermer after he invoked 1930s Germany as he criticised the Tories and Reform UK for saying Britain should quit institutions such as the European Convention on Human Rights. Now, this whole piece is also covered in the Times as well. They're saying that he's facing a cabinet backlash after comparing calls to pull Britain out of the international courts and specifically the ECHR akin to the days of Nazi Germany. And he invoked the Nazis in the 1930s when giving this speech on international law at the annual RUSI lecture, the Royal United Services Institute, very, very highly respected think tank just down the road from here on Whitehall. Keynote speech he gave. And it's caused a bit of a furore, because he said in the speech, you cannot adopt a pick-and-mix approach similar to that pursued by Nazi Germany to ensure that the power of the state trumped the law. That is effectively the argument that was made. And he specifically referenced this jurist, right, called Carl Schmitt, who was a lawyer who was linked with the Nazis. And he said this specific point in his speech, and I quote, the claim that international law is fine as far as it goes, but can be put aside when the conditions change, is a claim that was made in the early 1930s by realist jurists in Germany, most notably Carl Schmitt, whose central thesis was, in essence, that the claim that state power is all that counts. Now, just to put it in context, Schmitt was a German political theorist who provided ideological justification to the Nazi regime and supported Hitler's move to bypass the German constitution and rule by decree. Now, I just want to ask you this question, because it's caused a really, really big stink, this one. And we understand that a number of members of the cabinet themselves are not happy about this. They thought that the language was clumsy. Indeed, Lord Hermer himself put out a statement saying that he rejects the characterization of his speech by the Conservatives. He acknowledges, though, that his choice of words was clumsy and regrets having used this reference to Carl Schmitt, who is basically a Nazi judicial theorist. And I just want to ask you a straightforward question, really. Should the Attorney General be sacked? Should the Attorney General be sacked? 0345 6060 973, text 84850, ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. Now, I've read the whole of his speech, Lord Hermer's speech, that he gave just a couple of days ago to this RUSI annual gathering. And he did talk about Carl Schmitt. He talked about Schmitt's so-called realism, has for 80 years been refuted by the fact, these are his words, not mine, by the fact that these institutions, he's talking about the post-World War II big institutions, have provided the basis until now for Western and other states, wildly varied in nature, to interact with each other under conditions of peace and stability, all the while pursuing their own strategic interests. Raw, wild power on its own in so many different calculi has rarely been picked as a modus operandi because it was not, is not, a realistic way to advance national interests. This whole speech, Lord Hermer, the Attorney General, very close friend of Keir Starmer, by the way, I think he was junior to Keir Starmer in Doughty Street Chambers. They know each other for years. And Herman's a controversial figure. I mean, he's basically the brains behind this whole Chagos deal that's going to lead us paying 100 million quid a year to the Chagos guys for that base to be used in Diego Garcia. His whole entire thesis of his speech was that, look, you've got these pseudo-realists on the one hand that say we can't be part of any international institutions because might is right and national interest has to come first. And you've got liberals on the other side who talk about international law being paramount. And what he's saying is that we need to have a progressive realist approach. Progressive realism is the mantra that he is calling for, similar to the Attlee government in the government of 1945. He's calling for the same kind of approach, that we respect international law, we respect international institutions, we don't believe in the law of the jungle, we don't believe in might is right, and we have international conventions which we take seriously, like the ECHR, and that's where he's coming from. And then he references Carl Schmitt, who's this Nazi collaborator, to defend his argument. And he's got a real rollicking for it. And you could understand why, because typically, a friend of mine was telling me this, who was once at the Durham Debating Society, highly respected, and was told this, that if you ever invoke the Nazis in any defence to support your argument in a debate, you've basically lost. I mean, if you're going to that level, you're going to lose, right? So that's one thing. Should he have actually referenced the Nazis in a conversation around the ECHR, which is very controversial, by the way, and where a lot of people, members of the great British public out there, think that it's not fit for purpose, and many leading politicians, including Kemi Badenoch and to a certain extent Nigel Farage, might feel the same, although I'm not sure Farage's call for leaving the ECHR, Zach can check, but Kemi Badenoch certainly moving that way. Jenrick has moved that way. We know that Robert Jenrick has, but not everyone has, and there's a debate to be had about it. Now, I've read the whole speech, and I think it's a very thoughtful speech, and I think it's deep, it's thoughtful. He clearly is a man who believes in international law. He's referencing Hirsch Lauterpacht and other international great lawyers and other things. And he's talked about the great questions of the day will not be decided by speeches and resolutions of majorities, but by blood and ice and blood and iron. He's talking about the fact that Bismarck believed in this kind of approach and it didn't work. We need to have international law underpinning it, and progressive realism should be the mantra which we use to do that. And we should not have a pick and mix approach to international law, which are decided for political reasons by individual politicians. Now, I'll tell you my views on this. Firstly, on the substance of the issue itself, progressive realism as a modus operandi for British foreign policy cloaked around international law and norms. Fair for debate or not fair for debate? Absolutely fair for debate. He references Hirsch Lauterpacht. I was taught at the LSE by Hirsch Lauterpacht, one of the architects of international law, the modern concept of international law. I was taught by his son, Eli Lauterpacht, at the LSE. So I've learned at the feet of the greats. In fact, one of my personal tutors in international law was the great Rosalind Higgins, who was appointed as KC, who was appointed as the first ever British woman to the International Court of Justice. And even back then, when I was studying this stuff in the mid-90s, there was a debate to be had about whether international law is a thing, whether it's malleable, whether it's fixed in any way, or whether it's abused and used by states at will when it suits them. I mean, it's not a new thing. So it's very valid of debate and discourse, the thing that Hermer was talking about. Now, should he have invoked the Nazis and a Nazi sympathizer, Carl Schmitt, which he mentioned several times in this speech, in that argument. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it was bad political judgment on his part. But come on, people who are getting into a hissy fit about this, please grow up. I mean, this is a cabinet minister who's making an argument about progressive realism and international law. And I'm not exactly a fan of Hermer. I mean, you know me, I'm not exactly some bleeding heart liberal here. But if the guy wants to have a debate about a philosophical underpinning of international law and a guiding principle of the UK state in its international intercourse, so be it. So be it. The thing that Hermer's got wrong is two things. Firstly, maybe it was a misjudgment on his part to mention and reference a Nazi at all. But if he believes it, if he genuinely believes it, then he should stick by it and not give people who are his political opponents one inch. Not an inch. He should say, no, I believe in what I say. I reference Carl Schmitt for a reason, and I'm not backing down because I believe in international institutions, and I do believe that it is akin to what happened under the Nazi regime. And if you don't like it, tough. That's what I believe, and I stick by it. I'm not representing a government position on this particular issue. I'm Attorney General. I have a view. I have a philosophical underpinning which shapes this government's arguments and philosophy, and I'm making a case for it. But he didn't, did he? Now, I watched The Apprentice, the Trump movie, on a plane home yesterday. And I tell you this, Roy Cohen, Trump's, you could say, key guide, his lawyer, his attorney, but a lot more than that, a kind of pseudo father figure, told him three things. He said, young Donald, there are three rules to win in life. First, attack, attack, attack. Second, deny, deny, deny. And third, never, ever admit you are wrong. Now, Lord Hermer's capitulated and fallen and folded like a cheap suit at the first indication of some artillery fire from the opposition. If you genuinely believe that our reneging on the ECHR or anything else is akin to Nazi Germany, then stick by it, man. Stick by it and have some guts and join the argument. And for those people who get offended by the fact that he's doing that, grow up. Just grow up and have a proper debate and debate in the battle of ideas and let the best ideas win. And this is coming from someone who's not exactly a bleeding heart liberal. Should the Attorney General be sacked? I say absolutely not. Grow up. Let's be serious about this. I don't think referencing Nazism generally is a particularly good idea in any case, in any debate, quite frankly. I don't think it should go there. You're talking about a systematic murder of 11 million people. Not exactly something you should reference in this particular case when people want to leave a European convention. But if you genuinely believe it, stick by it and win the argument. Should the Attorney General be sacked? 03456060973. Text 84850. Ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. Ali Mirage on LBC 1270.
This is LBC.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco, every little helps.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't give up, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with Wellkid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The WellKid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Ali Mirage on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Ali Mirage on LBC 1219. Should the Attorney General, Lord Hermer, be sacked? Sacked because he invoked a Nazi sympathiser, Carl Schmitt, who advocated real sense of state comes first, international law and all these concepts are secondary. And he drew this sort of parallel, if you like, with people who oppose international norms and values as akin to potentially people who are in a similar vein to Carl Schmitt. He didn't call them Nazis, but I mean, that was the implication, I guess, from the speech. Do you think he should be sacked? 0345 6060 973, text 84850. Neil in Nottingham, good afternoon.
Hi, Ali. You'll know from my previous calls that you and I are quite often aligned, I would say, on quite a lot of things, but I'm going to take a different view on this one and say, yes, I think he should be sacked. And the reason I think he should be sacked is not because I disagree with a lot of the points you've made, the more detailed ones about the quality of the discussion and everything else. It's on a bigger principle. And the bigger principle is that the calling of people Nazis, of using Nazism as a term of, if you like, almost abuse or to denigrate an argument or whatever, has become so common on social media that we're in danger of it becoming almost established as a way of conversing politically. And for the Attorney General of the country to be in effect doing this, even though I appreciate what you've said about the background to it, the overall message that we've now reached in politics, a government representative at this high level talking in this way to discount, if you like, potential arguments on the back of relationships to Nazism is the bigger point. And I'm afraid he has to be sacrificed on that basis, because if the government doesn't start to, and not just this government, but future governments, don't start to get some facts back into the discussions and the way that we talk about these things, we're going to be further and further away from the type of nuanced discussion that you're actually promoting and that I agree with.
But Neil, you see, look, I understand, look, I'll agree with you on this point, that people invoking Nazism all over the place, it is now so commonplace, it's devaluing the whole entire egregious, disgusting, despicable things that the Nazi regime. Because if you compare everything that's happening to a regime that killed 11 million people, it devalues that very notion of how egregious that was. I mean, this is now a tool and stick used to beat everyone in discourse with. So I agree with that particular point. But where I disagree with you is, I mean, if Hermer and the speech itself, and I really recommend people go and read this speech. You can find it on the gov.uk website. Go and read it, right? I mean, I'm not Hermer's greatest fan, right? But you go and read this speech, and I don't even agree with the philosophy behind it, by the way, because I'm a realist in foreign policy, not a progressive realist like he is. But anyway, the point is this. He's making an argument within the speech, and he's never once calling Kemi Badenoch or Nigel Farage or Robert Jenrick or any of these people Nazi sympathisers. He's not saying this. What he's saying is he's warning against pseudo-realists, right, who believe that might is right and the state rules above everything else and international norms don't matter. And that's what he's railing against.
And that's, and Ali, I would agree with you 100%. I would say that is exactly right. But let's turn it the other way around. Let's have a look across the pond. You've now got a situation where the President of the United States can, in the same sentence, dismiss his rivals and enemies as communists, fascists, far-left folks, throw whatever you want in there. You can not only are those things for anyone who knows anything in conflict in terms of the terms, how can they be all those at the same time, but that is the President of the United States devaluing these terms to such an extent that they're becoming off-the-cuff criticism, if you like, in ways of bullying his political opponents. If we start to go down that route where the impression is created, and this is not about the detailed argument, it's about the impression in the papers and all the rest of it, that we've got our own government ministers using the same sort of language about something that clearly is a complex debate, then the bigger picture in my mind is that he has to be sacrificed to make that point. And I understand the point he's making. I can read his speech and understand what he's saying and agree with it. Yeah. But the bigger point is, if we allow this language to take hold, and particularly the way that politics are developing in this country and all the people who are keen to follow the Trump route, how long is it going to be before we're bandying these terms about with such gay abandon and lose all chance of getting back to some reality and fact-based discussion?
But Neil, if he genuinely, and he's a lawyer and he takes these things seriously, if he genuinely does believe that we are moving to a Schmittian world, and Schmitt being a Nazi sympathiser where effectively the state came above everything else and it was an expansionist, realist foreign policy where international norms and values didn't matter, and if he thinks that there is a danger that we are headed there, why shouldn't he not be able to say so?
I think he should, and I think that we ought to be doing more to actually make sure that people understand what authoritarian is, and you don't have to look far to see the playbook playing out in America. But that's not exactly the same point in my mind. And also, if you look at the actual subject, ECHR, not only can you see the government moving closer to realising that it needs to at least be discussed, but it's not going to be discussed openly and sensibly in a balanced way by using this type of language. You know, anyone can see, if you read through it and read through the guidance, what the key points and issues are. And the fact is, it needs looking at. That's not saying it needs ditching. It's not as simple as good or bad. It's a question of going back, looking at it historically, what it's for, what it says, what the guidance says, and actually pulling apart some of the worst examples of where it's been used to justify things that shouldn't be.
I agree with you. And to be fair to him, he also even alludes to that as well in his speech further on, where he talks about that as well. And he says that states and governments must not use international laws and institutions as a convenient scapegoat to avoid taking hard decisions or advocating for reform. He is even hinting at the fact that there might be something to be done there on the ECHR or other international legal norms. But he's basically saying international law matters. He's not saying that, you know, politics is irrelevant here. Do you think he was just clumsy, Neil?
I think he was clumsy, and I think we saw a little bit, if you like, of the sort of reflex action that you get if you spend all your time in the same sort of circles. And again, just for the record, I agree 100%. We are losing the rule of law, and I agree we need to re-establish it. But we also need to recognise, and this comes back to the overall point you were making about the nuance, that it's not black and white. It's not a question of ECHR good or bad, and you go either side of the line. It's a question of we have to be big enough to actually have an informed debate around it and the issues that are arising and come to some conclusions. And I don't see why we can't be big enough to say, well, we can agree with both, can't we? First of all, we agree with the rule of law 100%. Okay. But we've still got to discuss aspects of that when we think there are issues that need discussing. I don't see a conflict between those two positions.
Neil, great call. We can agree to disagree civilly, as and it's been an interesting conversation. Thank you. Paul in Twickenham, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ali. I agree, Ali, with what you said. Three quick points. Mm. One, he should certainly not resign. He's making sensible warnings. There's a programme on at the moment, actually, Ali, on the preview called The Nazis, A Warning from History. Mm-hmm. As you rightly say, he wasn't accusing any individual politician.
No, he wasn't.
Of doing that. He was pointing a general warning. The second point I'd like to make, Ali, is that in 1930s Germany, together with a withdrawal from the norms of international law, you know, the Versailles Treaty and everything else, there was Jewish men, etc., were forbidden from being doctors and lawyers. And I think we've all accepted this activist lawyer jibe. I hear it in Parliament. I hear it everywhere. Trump says it. A lot on the right say it in relation to immigration. They complain about activist lawyers, activist judges. This is very, very troubling and does relate to what was going on in the 30s. The idea that you must ban certain people from being lawyers because they might use clever arguments or well-reasoned arguments to defend the rights of the individual, that they should somehow be disregarded, I find very troubling. And Keir Starmer hasn't challenged this when he's accused of, you know, there being lefty lawyers and activist lawyers. Yeah. Final point, Ali, it is, I re-stress my point, the Nazis didn't finish with Hitler. That's just a fact. They did not. And it doesn't, it is not, Nazism is not confined to Germany.
Okay, that's okay. I understand the point. And he also talks about this Schmittian approach being adopted by the likes of Russia, who don't stop within the boundaries of their own state by imposing their will. They move internationally, and that's the point that he's making. Now, Paul, let me just ask you this. I've just come back from a safari where I saw animals in the wild, right? And when I look at this, and I compare Lord Hermer to some of the animals I saw, I don't think to myself, this is a lion who's standing up for his values. I think this is an impala who's going to fold and be eaten by his political opponents, because he's got no backbone at all to get enjoined in the battle. I mean, if you've made a statement, you've put it out, you've thought through it, I've read the speech, it's very thoughtful, it's very, very nuanced in certain parts, go and stick by your guns, for heaven's sake, and go and win the argument amongst your own colleagues as well.
Well, I agree with you, Ali. I think also the phrase that comes into my mind, not don't apologise in the Trumpian sense, don't apologise if you think what you're saying is the truth and you're a conviction politician.
Exactly.
The phrase that comes to my mind, Ali, is salt of the earth. To stop things going off in the olden days, in the Roman days, you put salt on it. And I think what Lord Hermann has done in his speech to put a measure of salt. And he shouldn't withdraw from that. And I'm disappointed.
Well, he has. This is the thing. This is the whole thing. Just like they have reneged on winter fuel. Now it's this is the thing, right, that irritates me. Like, you can agree with Hermer or you can disagree with Hermer. I don't agree with him on progressive realism. I think he's got it wrong. However, I can have a debate with Hermer in an intellectual way and say, look, Lord Hermer, I've studied international law too. I think you've got it wrong for these reasons. You believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. Let's see if we can come to a synthesis of some arguments in between, or let's part as friends and say we don't agree. But don't fold just because you're challenged, for heaven's sake. Or if you are going to be challenged and you've got no backbone, then clear it with your press office first and Morgan McSweeney before you go make a idiot of yourself. That's what I would say. Paul, thank you for your call. Should the Attorney General be sacked? There's a big, big hoo-ha on this whole backlash that he's facing after essentially indicating that people who are not in favour of international law and rules and norms are akin to Carl Schmitt, who was a Nazi sympathiser and who believed in the power of the state and its never-ending importance, and international rules and values and norms are very important. He never accused anyone individually of anything, but he was making this general point. Do you think he should be fired for this? Because a lot of people do. What do you think? 0345 606097 3 text 84850. You listen to Ali Mirage on LBC 1231, the news headlines with Sinead Carroll.
Two adults and a teenager have died in a car crash on the M5 in South Gloucestershire. Another passenger, a child, has been taken to hospital with serious injuries. Part of the northbound carriageway remains closed. LBC understands UK officials will speak to the US soon to understand the implications of Donald Trump's latest steel tariffs. The US president says tariffs on steel and aluminium imports will be increased to 50%. A man's been arrested after a car crashed into pedestrians, injuring four people in Leicester. Police believe the collision happened after a fight at a party. And what have a Rolls-Royce, a feather crown and a bottle of Coronation Street gin got in common? Well, they were among the official gifts given to the royal family. Buckingham Palace has released records showing the presents they've received since 2020. LBC weather, dry with lots of sunny spells for many today. It's going to be breezy on the coast, but very warm in the south, a high of 27 degrees.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
Just accept we need stop and search.
Straight to the point.
This is a shocking night.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
When was the last time your party was in touch with the electorate?
Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
Tired of watching your uninvested cash do nothing? With the Bank of England base rate reducing, investment platform IG is doing something extraordinary. IG is offering a whopping 8.5% AER variable on all uninvested cash. Yes, 8.5%. Just open an account, transfer money in, and make one investment before May 31st to unlock this incredible rate. Visit IG.com now to open an investment account today. Your capital is at risk. GIA, ISA and SIP accounts only. Boosted rate applies until 31st August 2025. Terms and conditions apply.
At Wickes, save on Dulux Standard 2.5-litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with Well Kid.
carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds, with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The Well Kid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
Getting ready for summer? It's time to scrub the barbecue, mow the lawn and dust off the wine glasses. At Waitrose, we're getting ready with 25% off six or more bottles of wine or fizz over £6. Like a fruity San Leo Prosecco, perfect with aged Parma ham. Or a crisp Whispering Angel Rosé, ideal for your first barbecue. And our number one Chablis, the aromas of fresh peach pair beautifully with a seafood salad. Start the summer with some great savings at Waitrose. Selected stores and lines, subject to availability. Excludes Scotland, boxed wines and bottles priced £100 and over.
Discover outlet shopping at the O2 this spring. Save up to 70% off RRP. On over 60 designer brands, including Nike, Adidas, Levi's, Kate Spade, The Cosmetics Company Store, Le Creuset, and more. And with over 30 bars and restaurants, a cinema, bowling, climbing, interactive football, mini golf, paddle tennis, and indoor skydiving, why not stay for the day? Visit us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 and plan your trip today.
This is LBC with Ali Mirage. Call 0345 60 60973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Ali Mirage on LBC. It's 12:35. Should the Attorney General, Lord Hermer, be sacked? 0345 60 60973. Text 84850. This is dominating a number of the newspapers. Lord Hermer faces cabinet backlash over Nazi comments, says the Times here, but it's also covered in the Telegraph and the Mail. Hermer, who's a close ally of Sir Keir Starmer, said that Britain must be ready to reform international agreements such as the European Convention on Human Rights so that they can retain some democratic legitimacy. But he also said that, or he made a reference to, Carl Schmitt, who was a Nazi-sympathising jurist who had basically focused on the importance of the state above all else, above international values and norms and institutions. And he was really hinting here very, very clearly that these realists in the Carl Schmitt line of thought, effectively, this is not the way we should be going. He wants progressive realism. He wants respect for international institutions and laws and norms. And he's saying that there's a real danger in this might is right, complete lawlessness, a nation-state first approach advocated by Carl Schmitt, who was a Nazi sympathiser. And a lot of people are saying this is akin to him admonishing anyone who disagrees with staying in the ECHR, Nigel Farage, Kemi Badenoch, or Robert Jenrick, effectively branding these people tantamount to Nazis. He hasn't said that, but that's the implication why everyone's getting so upset. Should the Attorney General be sacked? 0345 6060 973. Paul, I'll come to your call in a moment. Tom says this. Hi, Ali. Why on earth should someone be fired for saying something objectively true? Even if he lacks the moral fibre to stick to his guns, it is authoritarian to want out of the European Court of Human Rights. It's tacitly saying you want to treat some people without basic human decency. The whole point is that the international standard of rights transcends national sovereignty. It is a guarantee of civility after the horrors of World War II. And Marie says this in Kilburn, these people are quick to speak, but also quick to apologise. Should stick by their principles and don't say anything. What is the point of causing a storm, then not facing it? Well, Maria, I couldn't agree more. First a storm on winter fuel, going to renege on that, and now a storm on this, and basically folding and saying sorry, and that it was clumsy. If you believe in something, stick by it, for heaven's sake. Paul in Swansea, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, the point I'd like to make is I think the Attorney General is in danger of straying too far from his the role of his office, in the sense that he was criticised earlier in the week in the Times on Tuesday. It would have been better if he'd been at a court case, appeal court case, to do with Dartmoor National Park, and presented the voice of the people as a people's representative. But he wasn't there. That would have. And it's also the other wider point, that because lawyers have been on strike a number of times in the last 15 years, withheld their labour for increasing legal aid, is a sense, again, that that is a conflict of interest with their impartiality as lawyers. I think the Attorney General is on dangerous ground, a slippery slope. If he gets two more many criticisms, like the one you've posited of loosely drawing upon history to infer that the opposition are Nazi-like.
Yeah, can I ask you something, Paul? Obviously, Gary Lineker has gone. Some people are absolutely delighted about that, other people sad. But not so long ago, and I'm not talking about the latest ridiculous thing that he did, which was tweeting that rat emoji in relation to Zionism, but talking about, I think it was back in 2023, that some of the government's asylum policies were akin to Germany in the 1930s, which caused another furore, and we led to Match of the Day being broadcast with no sound. Do you think that Lord Hermer, as a leading politician, is in the same kind of boat as Lineker was at that particular point? Or do you think there's some sort of difference? Because I think it's completely different. But I want to hear your thoughts.
I think the danger in the language is that the second threat to the United Kingdom that the police are on about after Islamic terrorism is extreme right-wing criminality and terrorism endangering and causing outbreaks of riots. So the language which draws upon, as a reference point, the Nazis in the 1930s is problematic on that grounds. But of course, they're totally different cases, because Gary Lineker is, again, he's straying from his brief, though, sports correspondent, but the Attorney General has the right to say anything under law in the Chamber of the House of Commons. But again, if he goes out of the Chamber of the House of Commons and repeats what he said on the floor of the House of Commons online too often, then he's in danger of prosecution.
You see, Paul, for me, the Gary Lineker thing going back to 2023 was different, because he was a major sports personality who was straying into politics, and that would be alienating potentially half the viewers who are watching this, and that was a whole different thing. So right. I think Lineker was downright foolish and stupid for doing it, and he should have been sacked back then. They shouldn't have waited another year and a half to do it. They should have fired him immediately, in my view.
Right.
On this particular case, you've got a leading political figure who's not a BBC sports presenter, this guy. If he genuinely is making an argument about the importance and the sanctity of international law and international institutions, and the fact that he wants to advocate this idea of progressive realism, and he wants to take on these pseudo-realists, as he calls them, these people who just believe in the state and might is right and no respect for international norms, so be it. He should be allowed to do it. As long as it's been cleared by the party hierarchy, and I don't know if it was or not. But why is he then folded on the back of it? I don't get it at all.
Well, there's been a court case where lawyers have been prosecuted, and the conclusion is they have less freedom of speech online than they do in other places, including the House of Commons. So it depends where it's posted. You've mentioned in this radio program websites, online kind of material. It's totally different forum of discussion, House of Commons.
Yeah, but this wasn't the House of Commons. This was him giving a speech at the Royal United Services Institute annual lecture, a very prestigious lecture that they hold. He gave the speech, and if he's making an argument, as cabinet ministers do, about a philosophical underpinning as he sees it, and he's the most senior lawyer in the government, right, advising the government on all sorts of legal issues, if he sees it as part of a broader narrative, I mean, you can argue, should he be giving anything on the narrative, or should he just keep hidden in a cupboard and just opine on legal issues behind closed doors? You can have that debate. But if he's coming out of the cupboard and he's giving a speech and he's underpinning it by legal norms and he thinks it's moving in a Nazi-like direction, I think he should stick by his guns. I really, really, I mean, I disagree with him passionately on the substance, but on the actual, the way that this has been handled by him and by his own people around him, I find it disgraceful, frankly, and I also find it disgraceful that people on the other side of the argument are going, don't call me a Nazi, I can't have a debate with you now. Go and have a debate, go and tell the guy that he's a complete idiot for calling, for even referencing this point, and go and win the argument.
There is the point that it is to be welcomed, the broadening of a debate into historical references that take us out of sound by kind of singing match.
Well, exactly. And if you read the actual speech itself, which I have done from start to finish, it is exactly, it's a thoughtful piece of work. I don't agree with it, but it's thoughtful. And in fact, if Lord Hermer wants to go and dictate to people about international norms and laws and other things, the first person he should go and meet is Tony Blair and go and say Iraq war. Paul, thank you. Robert in Dulwich, good afternoon.
Hi, Ellie. I, having lived in a dictatorship and a brutal, vicious one when I was younger, right, I find his words terrifying because he is an attorney general and I believe he also has, so he advises the government on legal matters, mm-hmm. but he also has executive power, I believe, in the UK. Mm-hmm. And that means that you are dealing with someone who potentially could be directing a case against you and believes you're a Nazi because you don't believe in the supremacy of multilateral frameworks rather than national laws designed in settled borders over centuries, right? And I do. I think that works a lot better. Mm-hmm. And then what you want to do is cooperate with other countries, and your building block is a nation state because your topography, mm-hmm. your commodities, mm-hmm. your history, your all those things that we call competitive advantages in economics are all settled, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can go and do deals. This guy, right, this guy, first of all, he's assuming that the multilateral framework reigns supreme.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And he's saying, oh, well, you know, and let's be honest, when you're a man of that caliber, who his job is to use words, right, mm-hmm. this isn't being clumsy. He is one of those weird Marxist revolutionary lefties, Blair, that Blair started, Starmer's one of them, that doesn't like, that is happy to call a large percentage of this country and to infer that they're like Nazis because
yep.
they don't agree
I
with
I understand
him.
The point
you cannot making, have
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm. You cannot have someone with that. He's not just a minister. He has executive powers for you know, taking people to court. It's honestly, what is happening to the UK? It's so dangerous right
okay,
now.
I understand your point, Robert, and you made it very eloquently. So on the basis of that, then, do you think he should go? Do you think his position is now untenable?
Well, look, I agree. I understand what you're saying. He should stand up and fight his ground and be beaten in the debate.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. You are right in that sense. But sometimes when you invoke Nazi, right,
yeah.
you're talking about one of the worst periods in, well, certainly in Western,
absolutely,
probably yeah. in human history, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not fit for purpose. You've got to go. You're absolutely not fit for purpose. And the problem is, there's so much other dross in Westminster, not just Labour, all Conservatives, they're all rubbish as well, that you don't really stand out as being particularly bad because they're all rubbish.
But Robert, if he genuinely, let me ask you this. Firstly, two questions. If he genuinely believes it, and he believes that there is a slide towards this sort of international, against the international rules-based order, whatever that is, and I think that's a nonsense term itself, but anyway, for the purposes
yeah,
of this, right? He thinks that there's a slide away from that authoritarianism, away from multilateralism, nation-state first. If he genuinely thinks that that's happening, and you look at it in Xi, you look at it in Netanyahu, you look at it in Modi, you look at it in Trump, and he's saying mm-hmm. it could be a danger here, then why should he not say that, number one? And number two, is there a difference here between him giving a speech here where he's outlining a philosophical underpinning and making a speech on behalf of the government, or is it one and the same thing in this sense?
Well, the problem is when you are the Attorney General and you give a speech on the side, it's because of the particular role. If he was the Minister for War or whatever they call it now, or Ministry for Schools, it would be different. But when you're in charge of the judiciary, effectively the judiciary, right, you just can't do that because people can say, well, hang on, I could end up in court, this guy doesn't agree with me. Look, on the arguments point, look, I agree, it would be great to make, I would personally say, there's a lot of assumptions that he's made. First of all, 1930s Germany, the world in the 1930s, didn't have anywhere near the same level of these multilateral frameworks.
Yes, of course.
International and international supranational bodies.
It's a good point.
So even to make the comparison is a nonsense. And
that's
what it really
point.
Says to me is he's one of these people, he's the heir to Blair. All these weirdo, they're not fit. They shouldn't be running the country because they don't understand what people want sorted out. And those wants and desires have been since the beginning of time. We want good housing and education, and we want security, and we want law and order. We want an army that can deter enemies. What we've got is people just all the time, some nutty ideology, one after the other,
yep.
A cult with a net zero. It doesn't end. They couldn't understand genders. They're just weird people. And the good news is they're out. They're going.
Well, Robert, I think you made the point very, very clearly, and that is the argument that is being made for why people think that Lord Hermer should be fired, because he's invoked this reference, not directly, but we all know what the implication is. If you're citing a Nazi jurist who was in favour of the nation state, and you're making a speech and you're worried about that happening to your own country, and you're talking about international rules-based order and the power of international institutions, the implication is that for those people in the country who don't believe in that, effectively, you're Nazi sympathisers, or at least that's the way it's being interpreted. Your thoughts? Should the Attorney General be sacked? 0345 6060 973, text 84850. Ali Mirage on LBC 1249.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Dame Emily Thornberry, Chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, Labour MP in Islington as well, of course, joins me in the studio. Do you think we're moving on from the Brexit wars?
I think they probably don't care. I mean, I think that on the whole, those who wanted to leave are happy, those who didn't want to leave are not particularly happy, but everybody's kind of moved on.
Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Do you agree with him that they are using starvation as a weapon of war?
They say that they are not allowing food into Gaza in order to get the hostages back. I have to say, this is not the way to behave. They have to stop. This far-right government is behaving in the most appalling way, and there will be a reckoning.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from Real Octopus Energy Calls.
I've dealt with many utility companies for many years across several properties, and Octopus are an absolute breath of fresh air.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running.
At Specsavers, we've got hearing devices that can stream music or movies, and ones that are good in crowds. Rechargeable battery ones, ones that are good at home, ones that are good in the great outdoors, ones that connect to phones, ones that fit in your ear, ones that fit over your ear, and ones that fit in wherever you happen to be. We've even got ones in our advanced range that use AI to make speech sound clearer. And they're all available at great Specsavers prices. Book a free hearing check today, because OK hearing is not OK.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Ali Mirage on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Ali Mirage on LBC 1252. Should the Attorney General be sacked? 0345 6060973. Text 84850. This is Lord Hermer, front page of the Daily Mail. PM told to sack legal chief over Nazi slur. Keir Starmer under mounting pressure to sack his Attorney General for likening right-wing British politicians to Nazis. And front page of the Telegraph. Pressure builds on Starmer to sack Lord Chief over Nazi smear. Starmer is facing pressure to sack his Attorney General after he compared calls to leave the European Convention on Human Rights to the rise of Nazism. Should he be fired? You know my thoughts. I don't think he should be, even though I disagree with him. What do you think? 0345 6060 973. Jamila in Kingston upon Thames. Good afternoon.
Hello, Ali. Lovely to speak to you. I agree with you 100%, Lord Bramman should not be sacked. It is a Pandora's box that he's opened, and I'm very pleased that he's opened. Mm-hmm. I may not agree with all his wording, as you like yourself, with the Nazism extreme, but there are certain parliamentaries or parliament leaders, as you might call them, who are on the right wing, who are heading in that direction, sadly, and I would like to have a good debate. They think it's a silver bullet. Leaving ECHR is a silver bullet. It will solve all our problems. A bit like Brexit. It will, that's it. We take the borders, control everything. But we don't have a proper debate about legal immigration. How we, and another thing is, every time there is argument about ECHR, it's basically to do with somebody they can't deport. Why not? Yes, get yourself in house in order. And that's a failure of the ministers and the MPs and the government. Nothing to do with that. And I think this is what he's alluding to it. If you're leaving the rest of the law-abiding rules and regulation, then you want it. But you don't even have your own rules and regulation. We are a democracy, for God's sake. We have MPs who should be debating, legislationing. Where are those legislations to replace it? We have our own democracy. We have our human rights legislations. But where are those? Why are they not using it? Why is it every time there's a problem, it's always... And we all know who is championing that. We all know who championed the Brexit. We all know who did that. And he's the same person who's leading in the polls at the moment, who was want to be the next prime minister or president. And you also earlier on mentioned that I think it's about four countries you alluded to who are now going into that direction of the 1930s, what Germany did.
Well, I mean, I'm just arguing that if you're talking about strongman politics and about nation state first, you could argue that Netanyahu in Israel, Modi in India, President Xi, Donald Trump, and obviously President Putin, all of them are in that mold.
Yeah, but they're not giving you a good impression of the countries, are they? It's a democracy.
I don't think they care about impressions, Jamila. They care about power.
That's what I'm trying to say. So if this is where if great British democracy is going into that direction, is that what we want?
But you see, Jamila, the question you're asking is exactly the argument that Hermer is outlining in his speech, right? This is the thing. So we should be, as you say, having a discussion about the fundamentals. Do we want that to happen or do we not? Because whether we like it or not, the world is changing around us, an increasing number of states are moving in a nation state first mode, less respect for international norms and values, less respect for multilateralism. And he said this, I will say this though, Hermer had said that in the speech he gave to Roussi, what I hope to do is to start to depolarise this debate by setting out the legal underpinning for principled pragmatism that guides the government's foreign policy and security policy, a progressive realism. If you wanted to depolarise it, Jamila, he's failed.
No, I 100% agree with you. If I was him, I would apologise using the word, maybe that narcissism, maybe that's over the TT, fine, over the top. But I would have said, I'm standing by everything else I've said, and I would like anyone who disagrees with me to have an open debate. Give me time and place, and I will be there. I think that's how we need to deal with it. And I'm sorry, I do have affiliation with a certain party, and I disagree with 100%. Leaving this without having a positive rules and regulation legislation is a danger to our democracy and also to our allies.
Jamila,
as well.
If I was him, I would have adopted the Trump approach on this particular thing. If you believe in something, don't give an inch. Go and fight your ideas in the court of public opinion and win, and don't back down. He's already said it was clumsy and he's already apologised. In my view, he should not have. Jamila, thank you. Ray in Orpington, good afternoon.
Hi. There is a propensity to draw misleading historical parallels. Starmer was a victim a couple of weeks ago for allegedly sounding like Enoch Powell, which is absurd because one is generally acknowledged as being one of Parliament's most eloquent speakers by common consent, not so the other.
Enoch Powell, not Keir Starmer, right?
Ha ha! Tying up powers, generally regarded as a great speaker.
Yeah. I thought I was getting a bit worried there for a second, right? Go on.
International law should not be set in stone if it is not adaptable to changing circumstances. The right to control one's own borders is the definition of a nation. Now, international law is being abused outrageously by all those entering the country illegally. Now, if you now compare me to Hitler for saying that, then all those who want to see Nelson toppled from his column are supporters of Big Brother in 1984, where the party does exactly that. How's that for false historical parallels? I'm indifferent to Lord Herman's fate. He seems to be a man of straw. But definitions are all so vague. What is right wing? What is far right? We just heard in a program blurb. Yeah. What is populist? Yeah. Insult, not high insight. I mean, sometimes it's more subtle than others, as apparently he's using, but the Reform UK is not a Nazi party. I could not support a Nazi-supporting party.
I agree with you there, and I think that the characterisation of people as Nazis just because they want to tighten up the borders and indeed, in some cases, remove themselves, recuse themselves from the ECHR does not make people Nazi. I think Herma should have stuck by his guns. He started a debate, exactly the kind of meaningful debate we need to have. And if he genuinely believes that we are in danger of going down a Nazi route, stick by your guns and go and win the argument. Don't fold like a cheap suit at the first sign of some artillery fire from the opposition. Now, Sadiq Khan has backed calls for the decriminalisation of cannabis possession, as a study suggests the way that the drug is policed causes greater harm to society than its use, and that the use of stop and search powers disproportionately affects black communities. Should cannabis be decriminalised?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.